You know what sound it is? You know what sound it is, Rob?
Come on, crank it up.
Just let it play. Let's get the song here. Here we go. I just love how it kind of comes in, if you will. You ready?
Come on, DJ. You live slow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not slow. Let's just take it. Make the water kick in, yeah. I love it. Oh, man. Welcome once again to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Wednesday, February the 8th. Welcome you guys once again to Talking Sports 12th Man. As mentioned, your host, Robert Ford and Andre Peterson. What a great recap we have for you guys. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to jump into that. Obviously, and a lot of fun things we're going to talk about, the top five rivalries in sports. We're going to recap the Duke-Carolina game, which actually is still wrapping up, some Final Four predictions, and also the NBA Finals predictions. So we got a lot of stuff going on. And, Rob, before we get started, I just wanted to say I'm really excited to actually host on a Wednesday, because we kind of get over the whole things that happened on Sunday. You know, of course, some people are mad or upset. And then, you know, you kind of get a day to kind of like calm down and kind of reassess the situation. So I'm actually happy that we're here to talk about this. But I'm excited.
Cooler heads normally are prevailed by Wednesday.
Cooler heads are prevailed. And as mentioned, I'm excited we're going to recap the Super Bowl. We have a guest caller on the line. I'm getting ready to turn up to Mr. Mark Miller, and let's get him on the line real quick. Mr. Mark Miller, are you on with us? And I'm going to turn him on. Real quick, let me see if I can jump on and get him on here.
America,
Mr. Miller?
DJ Drake, slow with the music tonight.
I'm not slow. It's just something going on here. It's all good. Mr. Miller, are you on? Let's get him on.
Mr. Miller, where are you?
There he is.
I'm
Mr.
here.
Miller, are you on? Welcome, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent.
What's going on?
Pretty excited. Go ahead, Rob.
What's going on, Mr. Miller? I hear you got something to say about your Patriots, huh?
Well, I got a lot of things to say about my Patriots. At the end of the day, you know, they didn't make enough plays to win, and the Giants did. So, you know, as I told my kids, you could go back and look at all five Super Bowls that they've been in, recent Super Bowls, and it's one or two plays in their favor, and they win three out of five. One or two plays, and not in their favor, and they're 0-5. They're the new Buffalo Bills, or they're the new Denver Broncos. So it truly is a one or two plays will decide the game, and it's exactly how I expected the game to go. I didn't expect them to make a few of the what I would characterize as silly errors, like. Brady getting sacked for safety, and then on defense they had 12 men on the field. It was very, as they said, very unpatriot-like. But I was over it by 11 o'clock. I haven't seen any SportsCenter highlights because I don't care to review the pain. So.
Yeah, you don't see some of those mistakes. You normally don't see that by Bill Belichick coach team very often. But as you said, you know, most NFL games, you know, two or three plays is the difference in a game. And, you know, that's usually the case in pro football. And just got to tip your hat to the Giants. Eli Manning, I thought, outplayed Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, and that was the difference in the game. And, you know, Eli Manning came up clutch, and the guy is definitely maturing as an NFL quarterback. And you have to say he's probably right up there in that top five, top six in the league right now. And, you know, first few years in the league, we couldn't really say that about Eli Manning.
Yeah,
well,
I got to agree. And real quick, you go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. I'll let you jump on there.
I don't think you could say that about a lot of the quote-unquote elite quarterbacks, but he was very impressive, and And you're right, he did. He did outplay Brady, and I just wonder if his if it'll come out that Brady's non-throwing shoulder was injured, and that affected the way he threw the ball in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, when you start 20 for 24, and then you go 4 for 17 after that, or something to that effect, you know, something wasn't right. But there's still no excuse. Eli played a great game in that last throw to Manningham. Was just incredible. So I give him a lot of credit. So.
I gotta ask Mark a question too. So what do you think? Do you think that, you know, obviously there's a couple plays that Patriots didn't make, like Les Welker dropping a pass, and also Deion Branch. I mean, obviously if they make those catches, it's a different game. I mean, I still think it's pretty much there's still some other plays to be made. But what do you think about that? I mean, obviously Les is getting like a lot of flack, but the guy's been a top catcher in the league, if you will. So I don't know what your thoughts upon. About that, I hate to bring that up to you, Mark, but it kind of gets your thoughts on that.
I think the pass to Welker that everybody's complaining about was an uncatchable ball where he was and the way he had to turn his body. And so that's one. The Branch catch or the lack of catch, the ball was tipped. But I think when you look at the Hernandez drop as he was, he lifted his head up before he had the ball in his hands. And I think that, you know, there are three plays right there that people could say, well, if they made the plays, the game would have had a different ending. Okay. But they dropped the ball. They're human. And, having Gronkowski injured, I think that significantly impacted their offense. But you play with the players you have, and that's what you do, and you don't – injuries are part of the game. I mean, look at the Giants. They pretty much lost all their tight ends throughout the game, and that had to have an impact. Granted, it wasn't their top three receivers, but, again, it has to have an impact. You have to adjust and adapt and move on. So, you know, I tip my hat off to the Giants. They did well. It's, we turn our attention to other sports, whether it's basketball or – one of the pitchers and catchers report to spring training. It's, you know, that's why we're called fans. It's not our livelihood, and you move on, so.
Yeah, way to be a big sport.
Yeah, I got to give Mark a lot of credit for calling in my resident Patriots fan, and I have a shirt for you too, Mark, next time I see you, so we'll have to talk about it. So I got a Patriots shirt just for you, sir, okay?
All right, Andre, it's good talking to you, and good luck on the rest of the show, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks for calling in, Mark.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Okay.
Man, Mr. Miller calling in, and it was great. Bye. It was great to hear him, and obviously a big-time Patriots fan, and I like where he was coming from. He definitely spoke from the heart, and right there, I mean, obviously you heard a lot about uncatchable balls, and maybe that Tom Brady's form was a little hurt. And obviously not an excuse because, you know, he's not going to say that, but everyone plays hurt. But maybe it affected some throws. And, you know, like you said, you got to give it to the Giants. They played well. And obviously check in with us because this brings up a great subject, whether or not Eli is a Hall of Fame quarterback moving on. And then also, you know, obviously he's got another ring more than his brother. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And we are kind of mainly a football-oriented show, but, you know, we're definitely going to talk about a lot of good things. So I don't know if, Robert, you want to say anything else as we kind of wrap up this particular subject because we've got about 20 minutes to go in the show.
We can comment real briefly about the Eli Manning. I would say yes to him as a Hall of Famer. You know, he's got two Super Bowls, and he's steadily improving. And, I mean, the guy threw for almost 4,700 yards this season. I mean, by far his best NFL season. The Giants, the first team in NFL history to go 9-7 and win a Super Bowl. I mean, the schedule that they had to play to win the Super Bowl, beating Atlanta and then going on the road and Green Bay, going on the road to San Francisco and winning on a neutral field against New England. And this is the second time around he's doing it. And the guy has been money in the playoffs, even more so than his brother Peyton, even though Peyton by far has better regular season numbers. But I would have to say, you know, even though Eli probably has a good 5 to 7 years left to play, I think it's a safe bet that that he's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, after this Super Bowl win this past Sunday.
You know, it's interesting. I had a Giants fan, a literal Giants fan, that was talking to me. And you know what they said? They pretty much said, guess who also has two rings, like Eli? Phil Sims. Is Phil Sims in the Hall of Fame? You know this?
He should be.
He is not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he should Mark be. Bavaro, I think eventually he will.
Mark Bavaro, same thing. Two rings. You know, a lot of guys. And like I said, I'm not bringing up all these different things.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, it's interesting, too, to hear that thing. And, you know, to hear
Bavaro
the
Bavaro is a tight end, though. I mean, tight ends don't get as much credit as quarterback. So, yeah, Bavaro, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a tight end. I mean, I'm sorry, I wouldn't necessarily say he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, as a tight end. And now his career got cut short as well.
Yeah,
but
well, like said,
Eli made it. Phil Sims should one day be a Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Just an interesting little tidbit there. I know for those that are watching right now, Robert doesn't want to hear this, being a North Carolina fan. Duke has tied. Oh, okay. They actually only gave him a 2-point game. It's 82-83 with 14.2 seconds. The Duke only down by 1 point. So this is an exciting thing. I guess it's a good time. Yeah, it's a good time because I guess this is a good transition here. We're going to talk about the top five rivalries, if you will. And there's a lot of good things. Obviously, who can be a miss to start off with? Probably a good
one.
One
other
with,
thing I want to see. Before we move on, let me just make one point about Phil Sims. He has two Super Bowl championships, but if you recall, he did not play in the second one. And Jeff Hostetler started in that game because Phil Sims was hurt. And so technically, Phil Sims only played in one of those Super Bowls. And so, I mean, you can make the case Eli has played in both of these and won them and came up with key drives down the stretch to win both of these Super Bowls. So you would have to put Eli a notch above Phil Sims. Like I said, I don't know if you recall, but Phil Sims did not play in that second Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler was the quarterback
that
year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Rob
so even though Sims was a member of the team, but he did not quarterback them in that Super Bowl, nor did he do it in the playoffs either. Hostetler led him in the playoffs as well as in the Super Bowl game. And so I just wanted to throw that in real quick before we move on to our top five rivalries in sports.
Good deal. Thanks for that too. I guess I, you know, talking to a fan, I should check some more facts. Now he was pretty adamant about that too, so we'll verify that too. But thank you, Rob, for that as well. Yeah, top five rivalries, if you will. Got a great game here. It looks like North Carolina will probably pull this out as that 8 seconds, but I don't know. We'll see. Just for those that don't know,
Carolina's got to close this out here.
Yep. So it's pretty big. Austin Rivers and Robert. Oh my gosh, Austin Rivers just hit it. 3, and Duke has beat North Carolina. Oh, man. What a game. North Carolina had this game the whole way. Duke has a furious comeback. And, wow. Austin Rivers, the talented freshman, was hitting tons of threes. I think he had like 5 threes coming into that and just hits a 3 to actually win it. So this is live. So this is amazing, guys, to see this young guy.
Wow,
that was a ice water in the veins, man. Look at the freshman on here, man. What a great play. He's been, man.
Kyle Zeller just gave too much space on that 3-point jump.
That's a wow. Anyway, Rob, it looks like all we're gonna have time for is for the top five. But obviously, the number one. I don't know if you're gonna go with mine or first, but you know, obviously, UNC North Carolina. 8 miles separates the schools. Even though North Carolina leads the series 131-102 now, it's updated, 9 national titles between the two of them, a lot of things. This is what I have for one of my number one rivalries in sports. What, I mean, should I go ahead and give you all my five and you want to compare those? Or
yeah, go ahead and
you
give your five.
With this?
Give mine. Yeah.
I try to do these by
Duke Carolina number
sport.
One, okay.
I had Duke Carolina. Now, this is only because, you know, I've got these kind of – I try to pick, like, all sports, so just bear with me. So I had that. I had football, college football. I had Michigan, Ohio State. I try to go baseball with Yankees and Red Sox, basketball with Lakers and Celtics, and then I think I'm going to go with the fifth one being the Cowboys and Redskins. Those are kind of, like I said, I try to pick, like, all sports, if you will, as opposed to, like, straight top five, but that's who I had as far as my top five rivalries
okay.
in sports.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, kind of hear your thoughts on that, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I just rank top five regardless of sports. I'm going to go number one, Yankees, Red Sox. I think that's the number one rivalry in all of sports. I mean, you cannot wear a Yankees hat in Boston. You cannot wear a Boston Red Sox hat in New York. And, I mean, that is one heated rivalry. They hate each other. The two cities hate each other. And I would put that as the number one rivalry in all of sports. Number two, I agree with what you said, Duke, North Carolina in basketball is my number two, 8 miles apart. You know, these guys can drive to each other's campus, and right there pretty much in the same metro area. And success, a lot of success between these two teams. And so I ranked in number two. Number three, I'm going to go Auburn, Alabama.
Iron Bowl.
The Iron Bowl, number three in most intense rivalries in the same state. I was actually in Alabama one time when these two teams were playing, and it's like the entire state just shuts down. I mean, so if you need to go do some shopping or anything, the best time to go because everybody's either at the game or in front of the television. So the entire state just shut down when Auburn and Alabama plays against each other. Number three. Number four, Ohio State and Michigan. And, you know, two neighboring states, big-time rivalry for a long time, Ohio State and Michigan. Number five, Lakers versus Celtics. And even though they're in opposite conferences, they've still got a storied history going back to the 50s and 60s, playing against each other in some finals. And so I would definitely say Lakers versus Celtics, even though they only play twice a year now, you know, unless they play in the finals, it's still a very heated rivalry. Even heard Byron Scott said one time, you know, he said you just cannot root for the Celtics. And as a former Laker, so I say Lakers versus Celtics number five.
Wow, very good stuff. Like I said, I tried to, you know, span a couple different sports, try to get different things in there, but I definitely like the route that you're going to. Real quick, for those who want to call into the show, our number is 424-243-9519. Once again, the number toll free is 424-243-9519 for those who want to check in. So, yeah, like I said, just kind of talking about these rivalries, you know, obviously great ones. Ohio State and Michigan comes to mind. There was a whole documentary about that, the great Woody Hayes and a lot of the old stuff that Ohio State had. And it was just amazing because...
Beauchamp Butler,
and there was interesting because, I mean, Woody Hayes didn't even want to buy gas in Michigan. I mean, he was just like, I'm not buying gas here. It was just the hatred, and I think it was great, too. There was also a great line as far as I think Ohio State was running up the score on Michigan, and there was one time whenever actually Woody Hayes goes for two. You know, they had already had the game in hand, and then, of course, he gets interviewed after the game, Woody Hayes, and they refer to ask him, well, why'd you go for two? He's like, because I couldn't go for three. And it was just like, that's how much he wanted to, like, you know, rub the score in on Michigan. It was like one of the greatest lines ever, too. So I couldn't – why'd you go for two? Cause I couldn't go for three. You know, he wanted to get score as many points as he could. So it was just – this kind of shows you – and I don't know if there's anything like that now, Robert, that you know. Is there, like, a rivalry that's just as hated – now, like, I mean, I want to keep scoring and scoring and scoring, just, like, bury you. I mean, is there something that's kind of similar to that? I mean, just it makes games great. I mean, and we're not even talking about Georgia, Florida. There's so many rivalries out there. But is there anything else that's just as hated as that you think right about now that kind of everyone's like, ah, you know, that you actually appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, Auburn and Alabama, they hate each other. But I think the two coaches respect one another, too. So I don't see them kind of running up the score. But if Steve Spurrier over in South Carolina finds a rival, he'll keep running up the score on him. I don't know if that's Clemson or if that's his old alma mater, Florida. But you give Steve Spurrier an opportunity to run up the score, he's going to do it. Yeah, that's the one coach that comes to mind. He doesn't care what the opponent coach thinks. He'll run up the score on you.
Yeah, like I said, those actually, I know it's kind of weird, and like you said, everyone's pretty much respectful, but it is interesting that, hopefully there's some kind of like one of those things, reactions or watching games like that too. And obviously, even in this NFC South division, we have a rivalry with Saints and the Falcons too that goes back, many years as well too. So it's just, like I said, there's too many great rivalries out there, but it's kind of like you said, season the ones that are kind of the top five or kind of spent all this too, or it's been great to talk about.
Well, one thing about the Saints Falcons rivalry, for many years, most of these teams were poor teams. And I would say over the last 4 to 5 years, the rivalry has gotten a little bit more intense because both teams are a lot more competitive now. And so that's definitely a rivalry that's on an upswing now and getting a lot more national attention than it did prior to the last 4 or 5 years. So that's definitely one to watch as far as, most heated rivalries in sports.
Yep. Gotcha. Good deal. All right, I guess that's into that. You want to go ahead and jump forward into our final four predictions, if you will?
Oh, yeah, let's kind of get into that a little bit. I know it's a little early. We're still here in early February, but March Madness is right around the corner. I think we're probably about 5 to 6 weeks away before the actual NCAA tournament starts. We're about 4 weeks away before some conference tournaments getting started here as well. So we want to try to dibble and dab into some Final Four predictions, even though we don't have any brackets in front of us just yet. So we're just having a little bit of fun. This could change, of course, depending on what the brackets look like. But I'm going to still say Kentucky and Syracuse are the two best teams in the country. I think Kentucky and North Carolina are the two most talented teams in the country. But as you saw tonight, Carolina has a tendency to have some lapses as the way they just let Duke back into this game. But I'm still going to include Carolina in my Final Four just because I just think they're too talented. And once they put it all together, a team like Duke won't be able to beat them. And so I want to say Kentucky, Syracuse, North Carolina, and Ohio State. I want to put the big guy, Jared Sullinger, Ohio State. I want to say that my first team left out is Missouri. I think Missouri's got some talented big men and could really surprise some people. And but I'm going to say they're the first team left out of my Final Four.
I like it. I like Ohio State. I definitely like Kentucky. I also like Kansas, believe it or not. I know Kansas kind of put a whooping on Baylor, and for all my Kansas folks out there, I know that they have a tendency to kind of like lose a lot of big games too, but we'll see what they have. They have a very talented team out there, and I'm also, I like North Carolina too, so it's kind of like Syracuse, like you said, you have them, you kind of have them similar to Missouri on the outside looking in too, so it's kind of tough. Those can switch, but I don't want to be exactly like you, Rob. I want to have a little difference, if you will. But, I definitely like Kentucky.
Gotta have your own opinion.
I like Syracuse, too. I most certainly like North Carolina. I like Kansas, too. And I like, I like North Carolina. So, this is strictly just for fun, if you will. So we'll see how that plays out. And as you mentioned, we're a couple weeks out from the conference championships, and we're a couple weeks out from March Madness, but it's definitely a good transition. And for those that are listening into the show, you definitely are going to include a lot of stuff as far as the draft, the NFL draft with Combine, and a lot of things going on too. So we're definitely more football focused, but we do have some time to kind of interject and talk about some basketball, maybe even some baseball as the nights go on. So definitely for those who are calling.
NFL free agency this year around the corner too, so we got a little dibble and dabble into that as well.
We got a lot of stuff to recap, and you only have one day a week to do it, so we're excited about that too. So once again, for those who want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. And also, don't forget to check us out on Twitter, which is at 12thmansports as well. So we got a lot of different ways to interact, and we just love to get your feedback and kind of hear everyone out there that wants to talk and definitely add their 2 cents to the show.
Oh, yeah, like us on Facebook as well.
Yeah, good job. Facebook.
Yeah, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Like us on Facebook as well.
Like us on Facebook. Thank you, Robert. We got about 5 minutes here, so real quick, let's talk about, we actually did good. We had a caller, and we have some time to talk about our NBA final predictions, if you will. And we're pretty much on the same page as this. I definitely still think it's going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Miami Heat right now, even though the Heat are having some problems closing out games. But Kevin Durant is playing out of his mind. You know, you got a guy right here that's definitely on route to be the most valuable player, if you will. I don't think anything's going to change as far as that. Some thoughts about the Clippers. I know they just had an injury to Chauncey Billups, but, you know, they're definitely a team to be mindful of. Also, the Chicago Bulls. Hopefully, my Hawks are going to do some things, too. So I don't know what your thoughts about the NBA Finals teams or kind of what your thoughts about the NBA season.
Yeah, both of us, you and I both, in the preseason, the NBA preseason, we both picked Oklahoma City and Miami to go to the finals, and I think we kind of still on the same page with those predictions. I tell you, the Chicago Bulls are very impressive, and they're definitely a threat to the Miami Heat. But I just think come playoff time, they just will not have enough scorers to match Miami, just like they did last year in the playoffs. And, you know, the playoffs will come with a little bit more defensive focus, and you got to have guys that can score the basketball. And Derrick Rose last year against the Heat in the playoffs, he just could not get any help scoring the ball, and he was having horrible shooting percentages just because he just didn't have any help, and he was forcing the issue a lot. So you saw a lot of games where he was 12 out of 33, 9 out of 30, you know, where he was shooting the ball horribly. And he just didn't get a lot of help, and he was forcing the issue. Well, Miami can spread out their scoring wealth a little bit, as well as, you know, they'll step it up defensively in the playoffs. And so I still think, even though the Bulls are number one right now in the East, Miami's number two, I still think Miami's, you know, has what it takes to beat them in the playoffs. And Oklahoma City, they're just a team that's just continuing to get better and better. And I'm starting to think that the Western Conference is should be a cakewalk for them. It just looked like everybody else is a distant second and third, whereas I think Miami's going to have a little bit of competition from the Bulls, but just not enough to knock them out. So I'm still sticking with Miami and Oklahoma City in the finals as we speak. And I think it could be a really good finals if that materializes, but I'm going to say that this is Miami year to win it all.
Yeah, you say Miami, huh?
That's still sticking with them, yes.
Interesting. Okay, like I said, I'm thinking that, you know, they've been having some problems closing out games, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. For those real quick that want to know, we are now at the two-minute warning for those who are checking out 2 minutes left in the show. Rob, this is an exciting time, but this is a new feature that we're breaking out. Got 2 minutes left. How you want to end this as we get ready to head into next week?
Listeners, to stay tuned. Keep listening to our shows. We've got some exciting stuff. I'm still finalizing my entire NFL mock draft. We're going to be getting into it. We're going to be posting it online. And stay tuned for that. We're going to have some draft talk. We're going to have NFL free agency. We're going to be following the combine. Final Four is approaching us really quickly here as well. College basketball, March Madness is upon us. So we got a lot to talk about. Stay tuned. Join us next week. Next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. For those of you out in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Those of you in Los Angeles, that is 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, Andre, if you want to wrap it up, make sure you all tune in and keep listening.
Don't forget to check us out. We got everything out there for you. The guest call number 424-243-9519 for those who want to call in. Shout out to Mark Miller. Thank you, Mark, for calling in and just being a great sport about the Patriots. And I want to hear from some Giants fans. I'm sure you guys are still celebrating, if you will, but definitely want to hear your thoughts about that. Your thoughts about Eli, if he's a Hall of Famer, and also if he's better than his brother. Ha! And obviously he's kind of young in his career. And also, you talk about the Twitter, at 12th Man Sports, and the Facebook page, like us as well. For those who want to stick in, we got about 19 seconds left. We talk about the show a little afterwards, so if you want to click on the link, can definitely hear us as we continue our conversation. But everyone, thank you. Good night. See you guys next week.
Good night, people. Baller and LeJones.
Yeah. And we are off the air. Well, like I said, as we continue into talking about some stuff, great show, if you will, with Mr. Ford. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about. How do you feel about, I hate to bring this up to you, I know it's just fresh, really fresh. How do you feel about North Carolina? Man, I did not see that coming. North Carolina had a 10-point lead going into, with about, I want to say, 5 minutes left, and I can't believe that they couldn't finish off Duke. Is this a sign of them being a young team, or what do you attribute to this to the shocking little loss here?
Well, it's number one, it's a rivalry game, and as you know, unfortunately, anything can happen. You know, stranger things have happened between Duke and North Carolina, and, you know, as you're looking at this game, you can clearly see that North Carolina is a more talented team, and they have more physical presence. But the difference that would kept Duke in this game was the three-point shooting. Carolina's going down the floor scoring twos, and they're coming down scoring threes. So even though Carolina clearly had more made baskets in this game, but, you know, Duke's three-pointers kind of offset that. And that's what the college game, if you got a great three-point shooting team, you're in just about every game. And so I think what Carolina did, I think they did kind of fall asleep at the end of the game. I thought they was guarding the three pretty well up until the last few minutes of the ball game. And even with the last shot, Tyler Zeller just kind of had a little bit too much space. And my thinking is you get up on him, you know, if he drives by you, all most he can do is score two. And so you don't want to give up the three-point shot right there. And came back to haunt him. But I still think once Carolina get things together here, that, you know, if you're just looking at the ball game, they're clearly the more talented team and have more NBA prospects than Duke have. And they just cannot let Duke go off from his three-point shots. I mean, it's, you know, I think anybody that knows anything about basketball can see that Carolina has more talent than Duke. It just got to finish the deal.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not always talent that wins. Sometimes coaching can come in and play a key component to the, you know, wrench in there, because, you know, there's been a lot of talented teams that have not lived up to their potential, if you will. So it's just one of those situations that, you know, like you said, I agree with you. Harrison Barnes, you know, Marshall, I mean, great, great team, if you will. You know, and it's just one of the situations, as I mentioned, that, you know, it's a rivalry game, and certain people, they get up for those games too. So, you know, I got to say, you know, I'm not the biggest Duke fan. I got it, you know, very impressed with Austin Rivers and obviously Seth Curry's younger brother, if you will. Good team, you know, and the Krzyzewski always seems to get players that kind of mold to his system too. So, wow, you know, just good to see games and a complete game, if you will.
Yeah, great college basketball game and typical Duke North Carolina. I mean, these two teams always have some classic matchups. I still remember going back to the Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace days. I can never forget that double overtime game. But Trajan Langdon just kept threes us in the game into overtime. Carolina managed to pull it out. But an amazing game. Trajan Langdon did a three-pointer from almost half court, sending game to overtime. I mean, these teams just have some unbelievable games when they play against each other. Unbelievable rivalry. And, you know, and you can easily make a case that this is the number one rivalry in sports just because how competitive the games are. I mean, you have other rivalries, Auburn and Alabama. Every now and again, you may get a good football game. I mean, you look at it this past year, Alabama just annihilated Auburn. It wasn't even close. But it just seems like every time Duke and Carolina lace up those tennis shoes, you're going to be in for a dogfight.
Do you know the largest victory spread and who actually had it?
Who is it?
It is North Carolina. 1921, they won by 37 points. That was the largest margin of victory. Now, however, Duke came back. Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said some good information, yeah.
Now, actually, Duke came back and actually had a large point of victory in 1964. And they actually had a victory by 35 points. So, but obviously, you know, North Carolina holds the lead, but that may be a good trivia question to ask people next week as far as the largest margin of victory. Who was it by? And if you go back a year and say 1921, that was pretty impressive. You know, they actually met, they first met in 1920. So it was that's kind of how the rivalry has started, if you will. So it's been a long rivalry, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely one of the better ones. And I tell you, that's a sleeper team in the ACC this year. And that's Florida State. And I tell you, Leonard Hamilton has got those guys playing extremely well. They've already both, Florida State's already beaten Carolina and Duke both this year. And they're right up there with them for the ACC lead. And so quietly, I tell you, this Florida State team was unbelievable. And, you know, they beat Carolina by 30-something points down there in Tallahassee. And that was kind of a wake-up call to North Carolina. But they're quietly one of the better teams in the ACC as well. That's going to be a tough out even come tournament time as well.
Wow. It's going to be interesting. Like you said, I think it's going to be good. And it's going to make for a good good Final Four, too. So, obviously, I'm very curious to see what's about to happen. You know, definitely, as Teal says, get your popcorn and let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal. I hate to use that.
Syracuse, Fab Mello. I mean, this guy has really stepped up his game for them, and they're going to be a tough out. They don't have many weaknesses on their team. Like I said, the way they're playing, I think Carolina is still a notch below Kentucky and Syracuse. I think Kentucky and Syracuse are playing the best ball as a team, but I think talent-wise, Kentucky and Carolina are the better two teams talent-wise. And I tell you, that Kendall Marshall, man, this guy, I don't know if there's a better point guard in the country. The guy distributes the ball, and I tell you, if he can ever learn how to hit a three-point shot, he's going to be a great NBA player. And
I was going to ask you what you thought about his play. Yeah, because he kind of got harassed by Smith tonight, but very impressed with this guy. He looks like a pure point guard. Go ahead, I'll let you get your thoughts on him.
Oh, yeah, clearly. I mean, this guy, if he can hit, he can consistently knock down the outside shot. I mean, this guy has Chris Paul ability. He doesn't turn
the ball.
He's quick to the basket. He's a lefty. I mean, he's got Chris Paul ability, I'm telling you. And the difference, what makes Chris Paul the best point guard in the NBA is that he don't turn the ball over. And, you know, Derrick Rose is a great point guard. Russell Westbrook is a great point guard. But the best pure point guard is Chris Paul, and the reason for that is he'll have 12, 13 assists, 0, 1 turnover. He'll have 0 to 1 turnovers. Very rarely do you see him win a game where he has 2 or more turnovers, and that's the difference. And you can clearly see how much the Hornets are missing this year. And Kendall Marshall has that kind of point guard ability. You don't turn the ball over. And that's a key statistic, not only in football, but in basketball. And when you find a point guard that can, Kendall Marshall has games this year, we've had 13, 14, 15, 16 assists in the college game with 0 turnovers. And he's got NBA written all over him.
Wow, impressive. Another guy that I'm impressed with, too, I've caught a couple of his games, is Ricky Rubio. I don't know what your thoughts on him. This guy has come in I think he's done a pretty decent job. But, like, so I haven't watched a lot of his games, but the games that I have caught, I've been pretty impressed with him. I don't know what your thoughts are, Mr. Ricky Rubio.
Yes, I've been very impressed. And I tell you, he and Kevin Love, and if they can ever get Michael Beasley and Derek Williams to step up their game, they could be building a nice little team. And unfortunately for the Hornets, you know, we need Minnesota to have a bad year this year, so we can get a high draft pick from them. And it seems as though they're getting better as the year is going on, which is not a good thing for the Hornets because we need some players. but Rubio is definitely is looking like a pure point guard. Looks like he might be somebody in the John Stockton kind of mold. Yep. You know, don't know if he's going to be that good, but, you know, has playmaking ability.
I don't know, Rob. I think he's going to be, I kind of think of like a Steve Nash as he gets better, you know. I mean, it's really early right now, but, you know, I'm saying, you know, the way that I've seen him make some passes and, you know, I've been impressed. And like I said, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to put him in the Hall of Fame or anything like that just yet, but I think that he has great ability too. So that's kind of my two cents on him. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got about 4 minutes as we wrap up the after show. And like I said, for those that can always listen in after the show, we kind of get our thoughts. Anything else you want to talk about as we start to wrap up? Great edition on this Wednesday, the February 8th show.
Oh, one surprise. I just got word on yesterday that Jordan Jefferson has been invited to the NFL Combine. I thought that was a shock yesterday, especially the way he played in the national championship game. And that came as a complete shock. But, you know, maybe, you know, I know he's got a strong arm. He can throw the ball about 70, 80 yards. You know, maybe there's somebody out there that think they can work with him. So he got an invite to the Combine. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, you know what, now that you talked about that, there's another guy that I was kind of surprised about was Stephen Hill, the wide receiver for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. He's
mm-hmm.
been invited to the Combine, and the word on the street is that he's going to be a first-day pick. And
Stephen Hill. He wasn't in the right offense for his skills.
Right, right. But, you know, like I said, I'm sure it was one of the situations where, I mean, while, you know, obviously I'm not poo-pooing his decision, it was more or less like, you know, we still thought he needed a lot of work. But if you find out that, you know, you're a first-day pick, you know, why not come out? So, you know, very interesting, if you will. So so there you go for those that are checking in. And obviously Georgia has a good about 8 players or so. But you know, just for us to hear him get some high regard, it's very, very interesting for us to hear that too. So, it goes so much go on, as they say, right?
Oh, yes.
But so What do you think about Jordan Jefferson? Do you think he's going to be a quarterback to the next level, or do you think he's going to be a little of a project? I mean, what's your, like you said, I know you're that's kind of surprising, if you will, but what do you think about his chance? I know he's a project right now.
Well, I don't see him as a player that has the ability to play another position. You know, maybe he can get on somebody's practice squad or something like that. But I don't see him as a quarterback. That is, I don't see him as one of those kind of players that can just jump out and play wide receiver or something like that. I just don't see that out of him. So I'd say at best he's on a practice squad or something like that. And how about this? You remember the name Ryan Perilou?
Ryan Perilou, of course. Wow.
Yeah, you know, he's on the New York Giants practice squad, believe it or not.
Huh, he made it to the league. Interesting.
Yes. Yes, he was with the Vikings practice squad, and now currently he's on the Giants practice squad. So, you know, even with the little issues and getting kicked off the team, I guess you got to realize that coming out of high school, he was the number one high school recruit in America. And so, maybe he gets an opportunity, but right now he's on the Giants practice squad.
I don't know if the Giants are a good place to be because they've had the likes of Jared Lorenzen, David Carr, a lot of quarterbacks. It could be a quarterback wasteland, Jesse Palmer. I don't know, Rob. I don't know if it's a good move or a bad move. You know that.
Well, David Carr, I mean, this guy was the number one pick overall. He hasn't shown us anything. The guy is, he's not even capable of being an NFL starter. But he's lucky to be holding a clipboard.
I'll make like a couple hundred thousand to hold a clipboard, man. Definitely, just let me know, man. I'm sure there's probably a million people that would do the same thing. But as always, fellas, thank you for listening. Rob, we'll wrap it up. We got 30 seconds here on the show. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you, sir. And we'll touch base with you next week. Any other last thoughts, my friend?
Oh, wow.
Put him on the spot.
still getting over this Carolina loss, but it's all good. Join us next week, people.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.